Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley Davidson North, I-29 in Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
When you're able to play man, now you're able to load the box and stop the run and still not give up big plays. Yeah, you're going to give up some here or there, but a lot of our guys, majority of our guys, have been in perfect position, and it's just been really good throws and good catches. So I'm really happy with these guys.
Tom Brady gets the chalk last, you know, on every play. He knows exactly what he's seeing. I mean, you try to do things to make it difficult for him, but he's going to be able to figure it out. He knows how people defend him. We've just got to make sure that whatever it is we decide to do, that we execute what we're doing.
You just got to make sure you guys are mentally prepared for any given situation that can present itself. Obviously, Coach Belichick has been doing it for a number of years. He's been doing it at a high, consistent level. So we always want to make sure that we're dotting our I's and crossing our T's and making sure also that our guys are aware.
Guy who always dots his T's and crosses his I's. I think. Soren Petro.
Yeah, though, just the same way Byers dots his I's and crosses his T's when it comes to turning the mics on.
A guy
didn't think I heard it, did you?
Guy who always...
Yeah, right?
It's okay. My throws are usually backloaded anyway.
Good times. Good times, my friend. Good times. Josh Byers in for Jed Marshall. I was given kudos by someone this morning about enjoying the feud. They found the feud very entertaining yesterday.
It was.
I'm glad. I'm glad.
They said the highlight of the feud was the ding and eh. They said that was they really enjoyed that.
You know,
it's like a personal touch you added to it that Jed never bothers to add.
A box full of puppies don't have a lot of like direction or organization, but it is kind of fun to watch sometimes. They just kind of scamper around and run into each other, and that's kind of what the feud was yesterday, a box of puppies.
There was, but we survived.
Yes, we did.
We survive, and we advance. A lot going on today. We've got a busy program, busy this hour even. We're going to get things started. We're going to hear a little bit of Steve Spagnuolo from today's press conferences, get our program picks with Fat Jack. Lamar Hunt Jr. is going to join us. Big weekend for the Kansas City Mavericks. He will be with us shortly. And a big time right now for youth hockey in these parts. We will talk about that with Lamar Hunt Jr. We will get Peter Yatsenyuk in here at 3 o'clock. First time I've seen Pete in quite some time since I've been on vacation. And then before that, he was out for a little bit. So looking forward to seeing our buddy Pete at 3 o'clock. Give you a chance to win that great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. No Jed lines because Jed's not here. Instead, with Josh Byers in, we get bylines.
I like that title.
That'll work.
Whoever thought of that was, I mean, that's creativity.
You're on a scale of 1 to 10, your level of confidence in the bylines you've produced for us today.
Give a solid, well, your scale is on your scale or my scale?
Let's go with
that's
yours.
That's funny because
I
it's
think
true.
I think I want to hear both.
Okay.
I hear the difference between our two. On your scale,
9.2.
On my scale,
2.9.
A 7.8.
Okay. We're not that far apart in our
that's
critical
true.
Eye
that's
there,
true.
According to that scale.
Yep.
It's only roughly a 18% difference.
Yeah. Pretty close.
Yeah. Okay. Good to know. Good to know. Proud of you. Just live up to those numbers. 7.8, you said?
8.2 now. I'm getting more confident as we're
I think it
we're
will
rolling.
Continue to, as this week is gone, Josh has been within 18% of what's been, you know, required of the job.
The minimum.
It's 82%.
The minimum requirement.
Yes. 82% of the minimum requirement has kind of been him across the board.
That's right.
But that's okay.
We like that.
That's still a 5% jump from Jed, right?
We choose to find it entertaining. You know,
yes.
Different, like a break,
It is.
A breath of fresh air, if you will. Because God knows Jed's board work is super clean.
It is. We don't like all that efficiency, you know, playing the right commercials, not playing stuff in the middle of a segment. It's boring.
Much more entertaining when a commercial fires off right in the middle of you making a point.
We love 4 straight hours of not ever knowing what's going to happen in the next 5 seconds.
That's it. And that's today's show. It's a roller coaster, people.
You know, when you lean back in your chair and you lean back and you kind of almost topple over, but you catch yourself, that's us all day.
Push the restraining mechanism on your car all the way down. All the way. I tell it's like squeezing your legs to where it hurts.
Yeah.
You got to put the restraining mechanism all the way down because this is a roller coaster. With Josh Byers just kind of drawing the tracks in front of us. So looking forward to it, man.
Me too.
So dry. Me too. It's like the Stephen Wright of board ops. Yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Blair Kirkhoff's going to be here at 4.
He is.
Blair Kirkhoff walked into the coordinator's press conference today and called me a fat ass.
Wow. When you're 60 and look 40, I guess you can do that.
I guess. Yeah, he said, taking up the whole front row there, are you? Which, I mean, I translated to, hey, fat ass.
Were you in one chair?
I was.
Well, then you're okay then.
You know, and I was like, well, I don't have my stuff strewn all over the place.
Right.
You know, like a star reporter would. Right. Later, Blair managed to occupy 2 chairs and on 2 different rows. 2 different rows. Yet me, mm-hmm. I'm taking up the whole front row.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into that beef a little bit later on with Kirkhoff.
Yep.
No college stuff to talk about, so we'll talk about our personal beefs. Mizzou's not having the worst loss maybe in program history. They're not looking for a football coach. We don't have conference championship games.
Yep. Nothing like that.
No. So we'll talk personal beefs. Oh, yeah? Well, you drink a lot of coffee.
When you do this, when you do blank, I feel blank. Just be 20 straight minutes of that.
Ben Bolin's going to be with us. He writes for the Boston Globe, does a great job writing about the NFL. We'll get his thoughts on Brady. Is he done? Is he quitting? Is this team suck? Do the Chiefs win? Byers, what do you think? Who do you think he'll take? I'll make it one of the final fours. Who he thinks is going to win? Is he going to be on the Pats or is he going to be on the Chiefs?
He's gonna be on the Chiefs.
Really?
Okay.
I think so.
All right.
Okay. We'll see.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to it.
He doesn't have his number. I do. So at the moment, he can't, you know, text him and say, hey, I said you're pick the Chiefs. So please pick the Chiefs.
And I'm pretty sure the senior NFL writer from the Boston Globe is going to just bail out the guy running the operation.
To which Ben says, who are you? How did you get my number?
All right, the coordinators and assistant coaches were there. I always enjoy these days. Maybe it makes me sick, okay?
Are they once a month with the assistants?
The assistants. They got to make them available. And I'm not sure why they ran the coordinators out there as well. Usually, don't they give the coordinators a break and it's just the assistants?
Well, they didn't do Dave Tobe today.
Coordinators got to be available every week, I guess, is the deal. Maybe that's what it is.
Dave wasn't there today.
He was not. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Maybe this is one of you guys, when we have the assistants, one of you guys gets the week off or something.
I think that one tends to
be
Dave
Tobe. Yeah.
Well, I think just, I guess.
I can understand that. It's offense, defense, and special teams.
Well, I do think it's noteworthy that he is the guy because I get the sense that he's quite busy. Not that they all aren't.
Right.
Right? But, you know, I do think there's a lot that he does.
Sure.
I know there's kind of a feeling around there. It feels like, hey, when Dave Tope's here, let's go. We got to get Dave out of here. He is the assistant head coach.
Right.
So I get a vibe that maybe there is a lot more that he does than maybe
there's
we realize.
Evidence to support that for sure.
All right, a entertaining comment I heard today that I want to talk about a little bit here before we get to the program picks. And that was Steve Spagnuolo. He was asked today, and of course, you know, the big subject is Brady and the Patriots and everything. He was asked today what works best against Brady.
Probably more than anything, be good at what you've decided to do. That would be my answer to that. Tom Brady gets the chalk last, you know, on every play. He knows exactly what he's seeing. I mean, you try to do things to make it difficult for him, but he's going to be able to figure it out. He knows how people defend him. We've just got to make sure that whatever it is we decide to do, that we execute what we're doing. And look, I tell the guys all the time, you know, you go out there, give your greatest effort from the chin to the hairline, be the best you can being prepared. And if the other team beats you, you know, we shouldn't feel bad about that. We're going up against a great football player. Hopefully we got a couple things in there that'll work our way and we can come away with a win. But just the utmost respect for him and what they do up there, Josh, Bill, the whole crew.
A lot to unpack there.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, from the chin to the hairline.
I didn't.
The head.
Yeah.
But depends on the haircut.
Yeah. I don't have a hairline. And some people, hairline, it's like, I hope you want what's above that, because that's part of the brain, too, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a little sidebar.
That's interesting.
I do love the one, Tom Brady gets the chalk last.
Yeah, that was one of the lines. If you were sitting with someone and you heard that, you had to look at the first exchange like, that was interesting.
I've never heard that before.
I hadn't either, but.
But I like it.
I do, too.
And I get it. So that says to me, and if you believe that that's true, and I do, and he's still not good, then either the talent around him's bad or he's lost the ability to get it done.
Yeah.
Or the coaching around him's bad. But if he's that good, then the fact that this offense of the New England Patriots has gotten this bad is a product of something not named Tom Brady, or at least not the mental side for Tom Brady.
I took the metaphor to be you're at a chalkboard and you're figuring out the problem.
And then
he's
he
the last guy
it.
That gets the he gets the chalk last.
Yeah.
Here's the solution.
Yeah, I agree. And he said, you know, you got to be good at what you're trying to do. And then in there, and this is one that I can hear a lot of people, you know, would make a big thing about how he says, you know, there's nothing wrong with getting beat.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think to his point was, listen, they're good. I don't know, did he mean it, nothing wrong to getting beat in this game? Nothing wrong to getting beat on a play?
That's how I took it.
And then put that behind you and come back?
Yes. That's how I took it. Getting beat on a play, hey, it's going to happen. He's going to get you. Nothing wrong with getting beat.
I thought that was an interesting comment. Yeah. Number one, just because I think it is, and I know some people would freak out, oh, he's saying it's okay to lose. It's never okay to lose. It's a loser mindset. Yeah. I can hear that.
I think it's an acceptance of you aren't going to win every single play against Tom Brady.
Right.
So you're going to get beat on a play. And what's next?
And don't panic. Come back and keep playing.
Yes.
That's what I think it is. I think that is absolutely the way I think you should attack the New England Patriots if they were the old Patriots. This isn't the old Patriots. I don't mind him saying that, as I've said a million times. Coaches, GMs, even owners at times have to tell non-truths. Doesn't make them liars. They say what they need to say to protect their team, to get their team ready. They're not out there to accurately. It's not an exam that they're trying to get 100 on. And it's about doing what's best for the football team. But, you know, I buy that. If it's just you're going to get beat on a play, you got to be able to come back. Right? The old adage about a corner, you got to be able to forget getting beat so you can come back out and be confident again. Yes, I get that. 100%. I totally get that. But from a standpoint, I don't think, and I've said this all along this week, that I think this is an important game. It is Tom Brady and it's Bill Belichick. And for Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and, of course, Patriots versus Chiefs, the organizations, this is important. I do get a sense that there's a changing of the guard. Baltimore and Houston have already taken this team down. Albeit at home, they've already taken this team down. I think it is important for the Chiefs to keep that going. Keep losing teams losing. Is what Dick Vermeil wrote on the wall. Now, that was about teams that would come in at 3-7 Don't screw around, slip up, and get beat to a team that if you just have a decent day, you should beat. That's what that phrase really was about. But I think you could take it further in this case. Against high-quality competition, the Patriots are losing. Keep losing teams losing. Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson took a big step. And I think this is a big step for Patrick Mahomes. I think this organization, this team around Mahomes, and yes, Mahomes himself and Andy Reid, they're not going to hang a big number on the board. The New England Patriots just aren't capable of doing it. And Steve Spagnuolo's defense cannot have an idea that, well, we just kind of got beat today by it's Tom Brady. He's one of the greats. You know, John Unitas was one of the greats. But anybody who said, well, he just got us today while he was wearing a Chargers uniform was a jackass. Now, before the game, like I said, you say whatever it takes. After the game, and I think going in and behind closed doors, they better have a lot of confidence that they're going to handle business in this game. We'll take a break. Come back, give you some program picks next here on the program.
The Program with Seren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It is. It's time for our program picks with our buddy Fat Jack from FatJackSports.com. He joins us on our Sprint guest line right now. Fat Jack, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Things are going great. I'm winning, actually, right now. Things are going really well. Every selection's posted and documented at FatJackSports.com. You can see we were 9-5 Saturday with the football plays, selections and opinions combined, and we were 5-2 on Sunday with our football plays. And then we won again Monday with the over. So a very, very good start to championship week coming up. Basketball's up about 15 games over the last 12 days. So very, very hot and very excited about a great weekend. You guys doing okay?
We are doing very good. I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving, by the way, and your holiday season is off and running. Doing very good. So
you're tan, I guess. You went to Hawaii and you're tan. Is that what we're? Is that word of belief?
You know, when you're my size, shape, and color, it's best to lather one up with sunscreen. And so I am not one. I was at the beach. I was in the water, in the ocean, and whatnot. But not a lot of time spent trying to gain a golden bronze. So
It could be worse. It could be worse, sir. And I look like a Shar Pei right now. You know, I've lost weight, but I've still got a lot of skin. So it's nothing sexy going on over here either. So I feel your pain.
Okay. Well, yes. No tanning is going to solve what ails my poor look. So trust me. I feel yours as well. All right. We got a contestant. Jim is going to play this week. Jim, welcome to the program, my friend. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Doing very good. Have you heard the program picks before?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so you know that we'll have five games. You will pick your games first. If you can beat me, then you are going to get a wonderful gift card to Hen House to do some shopping, whether that's for your holiday meals or whatnot. We'll give you a $25 gift card to Hen House. All you got to do is beat me. Can't tie me, but got to beat me. And if you beat me, you're a winner, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, here we go. We got the Pats -3 at home against the Chiefs. The Saints -2.5 at home against the Niners. Ravens laying 5.5 at the Bills. Oklahoma is a 9-point favorite against Baylor in the Big 12 championship game. And the SEC championship game has LSU -7 over Georgia. Those are the five games that we will use. And we have Jed's picks as well, so we are ready with his. Jim, we'll start with the Chiefs and Pats. Pats -3, who you got?
Chiefs.
KC, he goes. All right. Jed has the Chiefs. Curtis, who do you have?
I'm going to take the Chiefs as well.
Yeah, not shocking, Fat Jack. Here in Kansas City, we're all on the Chiefs. I think the Patriots are winning a lot of money back for Vegas after years of winning for the player. They're now spitting it back. Quite a bit, I would assume. Where are you on this one?
Yeah, they're 7-5 against the number this year. New England is. They're really good at home, but Kansas City 9-2 against the number versus conference opponents on the road. Andy Reid really gets them ready for these spots. Even though New England struggled last time, which I had Houston, I'll go ahead and play Kansas City again. I think New England's sliding backwards as well.
Yeah, I do too, and I think this is Vegas being late to it. I've actually seen a lot of people that are saying to me, "Oh, this is where you jump in on the Patriots." And, like, the theme is, when everybody says the Patriots are down, that's when you got to get on them. So I think a lot of people are getting on them. I don't think there's going to be a time to get on them. I think they've got problems, and they built a fat record against a weak schedule. All right, let's go next, Jim, to the Niners and Saints. Saints are laying 2.5. Where are you, Jim?
Saints.
You're on New Orleans. Jed is on New Orleans. I'll go first between me and Curtis on this one. I'm going to are the Niners really going to drop this many games in a row? That's the question. I think everybody's going to be jumping on the Saints. Definitely the better quarterback over there on the Saints. But I'm not sure why this number isn't higher. I think if the Saints were going to be the play, this would be 4.5 or more. It's sitting down there at 2.5 for some reason. Put me on the San Francisco 49ers. I don't like it. This is a hard one. But sometimes that's the one you got to play when you're not really sure why the number is what it is. You got to get on that side. So I'm going to roll the Niners. Cletus?
I said earlier this week, I think they're coming off maybe their best game of the year in a loss. I like San Francisco.
Oh, well, that's a nightmare. You on my side. I didn't want that. Fat Jack, what do you think about this one?
Yeah, both of these teams really good against the number this year, 15-8-1 against the spread combined this year. Both of them like to cover. But I'll tell you, New Orleans is really, really good in the last 4 weeks of the season, 13-4 against the number after they win two games in a row. 17-3 straight up at home their last 20. And I'll tell you, San Francisco, when they're an underdog, are 5-17 straight up over the last 3 years. So if they're getting points, they typically not only don't outperform the market, they don't win. I'll take New Orleans minus the points.
Okay. All right. Big one here for Chiefs fans. If they're going to get tied with the Ravens, they need the Bills to do some damage in this one. The Bills are getting 5.5 at home from the Ravens. Jim, where do you stand on it?
Ravens.
He rolls Baltimore. All right, Cletus?
I can't get in front of the Ravens train right now. I'm not in love with it, but I can't pick against a team that's 1-8 straight, Baltimore.
I'm exactly of that mindset except for the tees down line. The line says bet the Bills because everybody is all about the Ravens. I think everybody is now. It's just an auto bet. Walk to the window and bet the Ravens. I think that's what everybody is doing right now. And so I probably would talk myself out of this game and would just sit and watch it without a wager. But I can't do that in this situation. So give me the Buffalo Bills. That number is there for a reason. The Bills are pretty damn good, too. I will take the Buffalo Bills at home, getting the 5.5. Fat Jack, what do you say?
Yeah, you're sniffing out the right side here. Buffalo is absolutely one of those teams in this exact spot is why the general public loses, because the public will absolutely want to go up and play Baltimore. You like to win when you've got winners. But Buffalo is the best in the NFL against the spread this year, 8-3-1 against the number. They are at home getting too many points here. I like Baltimore to win, but I think the payday goes to the Buffalo Bills.
Okay, very good. College games, Jim. Big 12 championship, Oklahoma. Who had to have a furious comeback to beat the Baylor Bears in the first matchup, are laying 9 in this second matchup. Where do you sit?
Baylor.
Wow. Wow. No hesitation whatsoever. He's on the Bears. I'm trying to get my arms around this. I can't tell if they
– What was that game?
Yeah, if they think everyone just thinks Baylor got lucky in that one, that Baylor's not really that good. Baylor seems to be getting better every single week that they play. OU has been playing better defense of late. I hate this number, but they're all over. They are just absolutely begging you to take the Baylor Bears and the points. So I'm going to lay them with the Oklahoma Sooners. Not in love with it, but that's my side. Give me Boomer Sooner in this one.
Sooners took Baylor's best shot and still came back to win on their home turf. So I'll take Oklahoma in this one.
Okay. Let's go to Fat Jack. What do you see, Jack?
Yeah, the moment could also be a little bit big for Baylor and a team that's really overachieved this year. Oklahoma is old hat playing in this game. They've got a lot of veterans, and then they get the quarterback over from Alabama. It's been a much bigger spot. So they're not going to be overwhelmed. I don't think the number matters here. I think Baylor either beats them straight up or OU wins going away. And I think the latter probably happens. As you guys said, Baylor, a really good effort at home. Still didn't get there, gave up a ton of points. I think that Sooner offense figured some things out in the second half of that defense. We don't give enough credit to Lincoln Riley at times, halftime adjustments. I'll actually take OU here, and I think if they don't cover, they don't win at all. But I'll go ahead and play OU minus the points.
That's an astute point, Jack. When is Lincoln Riley going to get some credit?
he gets a lot of credit, I think, but his second half adjustments are unbelievably good. He's offensive genius for sure, but he goes in at halftime, and unlike a lot of coaches in the league, he will make adjustments to figure out a way to score in the second half if he has to.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I was just having some fun there, but I think that is one of the reasons why he's one of the names you hear a lot as a pro coach, because that's one of the major differences. I mean, I think there are good college coaches that win a lot of games that can put together a game plan, follow it, and come away with a win. It's when it doesn't work, what do you do? And the ability to adjust and, you know, change on the fly, that's where the truly great coaches rise up. And I think it's a good point about Lincoln Riley. All right, Jim, Georgia and LSU. LSU laying 7 against them Dogs. Who you got, Jim?
LSU.
It is for Jim. Wow. So do you got no, you don't. You don't. I was like, are you just on all the favorites? But you're not. You got a couple of dogs there. All right, Jim, we're going to get you on hold. We'll get some information from you and get you all set. Good luck to you. I hope you're shopping at Hen House on me after a 5-0 day. And I go 4-1 or something like that. I will take that if that
works.
Well,
you both took the Chiefs, so I hope you both win that one, and then everything else is
yeah.
That'll for you work. And great for him.
That'll work. All right. I don't know. You're up first, I think, on Georgia LSU.
Go Tigers!
Really? It's just that easy?
Yep.
Oh, boy. Georgia's defense is real. I think they will present as big a challenge as LSU has had. But their offense is really flawed. I think they've got some issues on that side of the ball. I think LSU, this is another one where the train is rolling down the track. And I think LSU is that freight train. Georgia's got to play perfect on offense, and they got to get out of there with like a 17-16 game to win it. But, of course, that would get the cover. But I think if this game gets out of hand, it goes the way of LSU. I think 7 is the right number. I think all the action's still going to be on LSU. I don't like getting on this side, but I'm going to do it. Give me the Bayou Bengals. I'll take LSU. Fat Jack, where are you on this one?
Yeah, very similar to what I said about the OU-Baylor game. Georgia's not going to be overwhelmed by the spot here, and LSU is in uncharted territory for them, overachieving all your very, very good team. At another game, I don't think the number has anything to do with it. I think LSU wins going away, kind of like you just alluded to. They win going away, or I think they are on upset alert because they're overwhelmed. They turn the ball over a little bit. They've been really good at protecting the football, and you hate for to see a team drop that situation here, but we've seen it before. The SEC is a very fine line. I actually take Georgia plus the points here, and it wouldn't surprise me if they won straight up. The good news is, those guys, when you go to FatJackSports.com, every single play is listed and documented there on the website. You'll see we won Saturday, we won Sunday, we won again Monday night. Basketball is going great right now. Go to FatJackSports.com, 179 everything through Monday, 229 football and basketball, or save a ton of money on those longer packages, less than half price off that bread I just gave you. Less than $100 a week when you sign up long-term. Consistent winning selections, text to your cell phone or email to you. Go to FatJackSports.com.
Fat Jack, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate it. Have yourself a great weekend, and I hope you get a lot of shopping done as well.
You know it, brother. I'm heading out to Vegas with all the rodeo fans. I'm going to get after and buy myself some boots. Have a good weekend.
That is fantastic. Fat Jack from Fat Jack Sports. He's the best in the business. FatJackSports.com. All of his picks are posted. You can check out his record of all the games all year online. He is the best. Fat Jack from FatJackSports.com. We will take a break. Come back. Lamar Hunt Jr. is going to join us. Big weekend coming up for the Kansas City Mavericks over at Silverstein Ice Center's Arena. Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Time to talk a little hockey. The Mavericks on the ice at Silverstein Ice Center's Arena Friday and Saturday night. A lot of great events going on, and a chance for us to catch up with the owner of the Mavericks, Lamar Hunt Jr., joins us here in the program. Lamar, how are you?
I'm doing great, Seren. So thankful that I'm here today. Thank you much.
We appreciate you coming by and talking to us. And team, couple of wins in a row. That's nice.
Over a nemesis.
That's right.
The Wichita Thunder.
That's
a team we need to go ahead and dominate. this year.
Yes,
for sure.
And another one with them tomorrow night.
Yes.
We'll talk about what's going on out at the arena here in a minute. But what's going on this season? I know you, if people don't know, and I think you're always very modest about this, but are tremendous at giving back into the community personally. But that carries over now with your franchise as well, as your organization does a great job of connecting with and giving back to the community. And you're in the midst of a lot of things that are going on right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this weekend sort of marks the teddy bear toss, which is you know, sort of a classic in hockey.
Yep.
I believe the most classic is the one up in Hershey, Pennsylvania, with the Hershey Bears. I was told I think they had 40,000.
Wow.
The other day. So I think we're expecting over 2,000 or so, maybe even more.
That'd be great.
And it creates a little bit of a stoppage in play, as they would say, but we're staffed and ready for it.
Yep.
But that's Saturday night. And then sort of for the last few weeks, we've been celebrating, if you will, or helping, if you will, the NICU HCA at Overland Park Regional. I had a grandson who was in there for 38 days when he was born a little over 5 years ago. So we learned a whole lot about a world we knew very little about at the time. And so what we try to do as a community, the Mavericks community, with this attitude of gratitude is what we have, is to give back, to help the people, the parents specifically, who are having this blessed event in their life, this beautiful event in their life, and all of a sudden it turns into sort of a not just inconvenience, but a very scary thing for them. Their baby has certain issues or prematurity or things like that. And so we're involved with that. I think tomorrow we're going to be down there serving some meals to some of the families. Tomorrow, Friday afternoon, we're going to be doing that. And then, of course, the weekend rolls with the teddy bear toss. And that's, again, to benefit kids.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
And to see, basically, you talk about the one in Hershey, and I've seen videos before of the ones even you guys have. I think you might be modest with your 2,000 number, but just to see teddy bears raining on the ice. If you're going Saturday, the Marvel Night's great, and you're going to have special uniforms. Spider-Man uniforms.
Absolutely.
For the Mavericks. You guys always do the best uniforms around.
Yes.
The array of uniforms you have are absolutely fantastic, and folks can take pictures with Spider-Man. But make sure you bring a teddy bear. It's gently used or brand new.
Absolutely.
Go grab you some teddy bears. Go grab two or three and be a part of. When else are you encouraged to throw things on the ice? I mean, hockey has the hat trick. Right?
Absolutely.
And so that's one thing. But then with the teddy bears flying out there, it is an amazing scene that you do not want to miss.
It really is. It's a very special night, and it really means a lot for the children and the families, again, receive these. And it's a way that, again, the community comes together. We know this from all the sports in Kansas City, especially, I think, this area. People come together for all of this,
yeah.
And they love it. It's a great time. It's a beautiful time to just be together and celebrate the team, the community, and the little things that we do.
Yeah, and the team is playing very well. They've, as I mentioned, won their last two games. A lot of games in hand as well, which is one of the things that's important. And, you know, I've talked about this with Brent a number of times, the schedule at the ECHL level, you know, it's ice time with some people, and you get crammed. You guys right now are looking up, I think, at four games. There are some teams that have played four more games than you. So
very true, very true. I mean, the scheduling, you know, they brought in a person to do the scheduling algorithm this year, and I think they've actually done a very good job.
I know you don't have quite as many, like, 12-game road trips
a blizzard of home games.
Right.
It makes it very challenging for our fans, of course, but it's spread out much more. I would call it logically. And we have to play certain teams more than others, certainly the ones in our division, and that certainly makes sense. And the team this week in Wichita, we've kind of turned the tide against them.
Yep.
We play them an awful lot, and we need to be one up on them at all times.
And that's one of the great things about it, too. I think it does help foster those rivalries.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely a rivalry there.
You mentioned it with Wichita. But when you get those games, and you took two out in Wichita, they're coming back here on Friday, when you get a chance to play again and again and again, and when you've got the proximity and the closeness of it, then you get the great rivalries, which I think is, you know, what all sports are about.
Sure, and the season can be, I sort of think of it, this is, you know, an idea that really I've gotten from the NFL. I've seen coaches there, they think of seasons in quarters.
Sure.
For example, the Chiefs are heading into the fourth quarter of their season, the last four games. Well, the Mavericks are heading into they're in the second quarter of games, groups of 18. And, we did okay that first group of 18. We stayed close to the pack, but now we're starting to make our move. And I think it's a function of a lot of new players, but now coming together, cohesiveness, coaching, and understanding for some of the younger players and the newer players to the league. this is what it takes to win. It's not just something, you know, you go in and just sort of haphazardly do. One or two mistakes here and there, and it costs you.
Yeah, playing better than 600 hockey, I think it is, for about
Absolutely.
The last nine games, 10 games,
Absolutely.
Something like that. So the team really is hitting its stride. So great hockey on the ice at Silverstein Ice Center's arena. And you can get your tickets by going to the Mavericks website as well. And always a lot going on around the team. Your commitment to Kansas City with the Mavericks goes beyond, as we've talked many times, just the ECHL franchise, but growing it, junior team, looking to get more sheets of ice, more people playing. I know we always love to get an update. I always get great feedback from people who talk about, and my buddies who are like, we need the ice.
Yes.
I'm tired of practicing at 11:30. Well, think about it when youngsters, you know, they're not going to, you know, guys, you know, and I got some guys that are even older than me that are playing in
Absolutely.
Leagues.
Absolutely.
That's one thing to practice at 11:30 at night. It's another thing for the kids. Where are we as far as growing the sheets of ice? And I know all the work you've done behind the scenes to try to get that going.
Yeah, I think if they're going to do the beer league for the guys, they'd rather do the beer drinking a little bit earlier in
yes,
the evening. I know I would if I was into that. You know, we've looked at this. We've been working at this for several years now, and we've understood that Kansas City is a market that doesn't support enough ice sheets, but it can.
Right.
And we know that there's a demand, you know, inquiries, people who show up to learn to play hockey, young people with their parents, you know, maybe people who are transplants who know about hockey, love hockey, these things like that. So we have really one chance to do this. We believe, we know, we're very close to doing something very substantial that will make a lot of sense for the community, get everybody working in the Kansas City Youth Hockey Association, rowing in the same direction. We're doing that anyway, but we want to keep everybody going in the same direction and grow the sport. You know, you think of it as a pyramid. You want to have all your players down at the bottom. And at the top of that pyramid would be the Topeka Pilots, where it's a junior hockey team, where the young men on that team aspire to play in collegiate hockey. And I think last year, and my numbers are not going to be 100% accurate, but I think we sent 9 kids to Division I scholarships off that team. That team is very good this year. We did recently lose our goalie who committed to Ohio State, and he thus went up to the USHL team in Omaha, and he's playing there more full-time. So the coach out there, Simon Watson, has done a great job, and I'll give a shout-out, too, to John Scott Dixon at the Mavericks, because I think he's done a great job for 4 years of really, this is his fourth season of really learning the league and learning how to build a team. But Simon has done a great job. That's his wheelhouse. That's what he does best, is develop these young players. And so that's the top of the pyramid. It's probably unrealistic for us to think that we're going to get a collegiate team in this immediate area. You know, your closest is the University of Nebraska at Omaha, UNO, the Mavericks, by the way. And in fact, we have a guy on the Mavericks this year. I believe it's Jack Walker, or it could be, that played
at UNO.
At UNO. I want to make sure I got that right. I think I did. Hope I did. But my point is that we need to build that bottom layer so we can just get this participation level. You know this, Seren. I know this. Sports is great for kids.
Yep.
It's great. You know, it's not a cliche to say it's great for their character. It's great for relationships. It's great for so many other things that you're going to tackle in life.
Yeah, I've got friends that are hockey. They're a hockey family.
Oh, yeah.
And when hockey season comes around, you know, like any sport, I think anybody can relate no matter what sport your kids might play. But I do talk to them, and they every time we have a conversation, they talk about how challenging it is to get the practice time together. And, you know, it's such a great sport. You know, I'm a big fan. And the ability, all sports are great for kids, as you mentioned. But, you know, to me, it's a sport that fills, kind of like soccer as well, the non, you don't have to be 7 feet tall. You don't have to be 300 pounds. So it is a sport that youths of really all sizes can play.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what opens it up and makes it a great sport and why it's so popular in places where it's had more of a heritage, right? The Northern Canada and the Northern ones. But I think as we get the ice time, you know, kids will find their way. They find their way to the sport that they love and the one that they can be good at. And I think it's a sport that so many kids could enjoy because size-wise, it fits what a lot of kids' size is.
Not only that, but it's sort of similar, I think about this too, learning to play a musical instrument or different things like that. These are things that kids can master. It's really important to not just master video games.
Right.
You know, it's really more important to take your body and go do something with it and be physical. That, you know, we're kind of created that way. And sports allows for that. The arts, all those sorts of things allow for that to happen. It's not a passive activity. It's an active activity.
We're talking to Lamar Hunt Jr., owner of the Kansas City Mavericks here. Got games Friday and Saturday night. You can be out and be a part of the action. Teddy bear toss on Saturday. Take your teddy bears out to the game so you can get them out on the ice, and they will go to a great cause. And, of course, it is Marvel night as well, so the kids can get dressed up in all their Marvel gear as well and have a great night out at the Silverstein Ice Center's arena.
Yeah, the league has done such a great job of going out and sort of forming these relationships, some with some sponsors and some with these sort of these specialty nights, if you call them, these specialty jerseys. And you would say, well, the league is mandating us to do this. Well, it's a great mandate to come down from the league, that they've gone out at the league level, the ECHL level, and formed these relationships and gotten a hold of these franchises, if you will, meaning the Marvel franchise, and it permeates the whole league. And it's a wonderful thing to see.
You mentioned that we're close to – how close are we to an announcement about as far as getting more ice and getting, I know you've been working towards an arena and those kind of things. Do you have a timeline?
I would say that we have something substantial and can say something substantial when the calendar turns the new year into the first quarter of next year. I mean, we know that we need to get on with it. We know that. We've talked about this for several years now. And there are some other groups that have talked about it as well and are conceptualizing things. And, you know, we all need to come together, figure out what the best plan is. And we think we're there with that. I mean, these are not – soccer fields are expensive. So are baseball fields. Yeah. Sheets of ice are really expensive. Yeah. So you have really one substantial chance to do this. You need to make sure that it makes financial sense and that you can run the business like a business, because it is a business. You know, you have ice time, you got to sell it, you got to book teams, you got to have public skates, you got to have a staff to run it. All these things are extremely important. And some of the concepts of just building the ice, how many locker rooms do you need, and things like that. And we have the growth in females playing hockey.
Yes.
Young ladies are playing it.
One of my friend's daughter.
Absolutely.
Is a hockey player.
And some have to go beyond the Kansas City market to go play the sport, you know, the young ladies. And so, understood. But again, to your point, if people have the opportunity, they'll gravitate toward it. And there'll just be a certain percent of people that will show up and say, hey, I want to play.
And that's one of the things that I know we've talked in the past, that once we get the building, for lack of a better term, but the facility built, we're talking about people coming here. Instead of our kids going and playing elsewhere, we're talking about bringing families and revenue here for tournaments that would be played here. That's a big part of the picture.
We can get tournaments, I don't know if the word national is the right word, but certainly regional. We can actually get teams from St. Louis and Omaha and Chicago and Minneapolis to come here and play in tournaments. We can actually, wherever that would be. There are a lot of other communities that are smaller where the same thing would be true. Where there's a lot of hockey, especially in some of those more remote regions in the northern states here, they would come here and play. They would be looking for new, fresh teams to play and new experiences. And Kansas City's a great place to visit.
Oh, it is. It is, as we all know. It's the reason why we all live here. But, you know, we've seen the growth of all the soccer fields, and I think this is what's next. And it will feed itself, and it's its own economy. Really, in what's going on. I mean, it does create its own economy. And, you know, just go try to, you know, get something to eat by some of the soccer fields, you know, on a tournament day. It'd be the same thing.
Hotel nights, meals, all the periphery stuff, gasoline, all those things that people use to need to get about.
Yeah, it'll be great. We're talking to Lamar Hunt Jr. Here in the program. One more question about the Mavericks. How's the affiliation working with the Flames?
We love it. We think we have a very good partnership with them. I think we feel like we're heard. And you can see that with some of the players we have this year. And I think they've been very dedicated. They want to develop players. And they also recognize that we are a terrific market and opportunity to do that. I think they respect our general manager, president, Brent Thiessen, and our coach. I mean, I know they do, and they trust us. And I think it's been a very good relationship.
Yeah, it's been a great stable organization.
Oh, yes.
You know,
I think so.
Led by you taking the ownership,
kind.
Oh, no, but it really does. It needs someone who's committed to not just looking for a business venture, but someone who's committed to the sport, the region, the area. And I think all the things we're talking about here and all the conversations we've had proves exactly that. And that's why the Mavericks are one of the really flag bearers for the league.
And I'll throw one other thing in here. I'll throw in the City of Independence and Silverstein Ice Center's arena. The improvements out there, the continued improvements. It's always been a really nice arena. But the willingness of the community, Spectra, the management company of the arena and City of Independence for them to put in, for example, all the boards, the video boards, and things like that. There's an eating space, tabletop area called the Martin Underground. All the things they've done to enhance the fan experience out there, we couldn't thank them enough for what they have done. Just the upgrades to the equipment and the audio visual and all that sort of stuff we're the best in the league. The best in the league.
Well, I've said it, there's no value for your entertainment dollar better than going to a Mavericks game. It is absolutely fantastic.
It's clean. It's neat. The staff is so wonderful that, staffs the place. It's fantastic.
The sight lines are incredible.
Yes. Yeah.
They're absolutely
it's
incredible.
It's a great place.
Being right on top of the ice. And if you want to take one of the things we did once was we had a whole big group, the suite that's right there on the glass.
Oh, yeah.
On the ice.
The ice box.
Yeah, so they crash right into you and everything. It's fantastic. You want a great corporate night? Take the, a corporate team out. Go there.
Right.
That is just an awesome, awesome spot to go. So we're talking to Lamar Hutt Jr. Time for my final four, Lamar.
Okay.
Four quickies.
Wait a minute. Final four. Okay.
Four quickies. Just no pressure here. I'll start you with this. What will the Chiefs' final record be? Sitting at 8-4 right now.
11-5.
11-5. All right. That's I like that. I actually think you're wrong. I actually think 12-4.
Awesome.
I think they're going to run the table.
Oh, good.
I said I'd put the over-under at 11.75. I lean to – there could be a game that they get tripped up, but I think they're going to win in Foxborough, and I think they're going to handle business the rest of the way. So I'll go 11-5.
You're going to go 12-4. I'm going to go 11-5.
Yeah, I'm going to go 12-4. Okay. Yes, yes. Okay. All right, now tell me, what's your favorite Thanksgiving side dish?
Oh, my gosh. Thanksgiving this year was amazing. I'm still the cranberry
really
stuff. Yeah.
I'm not a cranberry fan, but the people who are just love it.
We went and had some. My mother lives here in an assisted living, and we went on a Sunday before Thanksgiving. That's when they did their Thanksgiving, and the cranberry sauce was spectacular.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. All right. Tell me, what's your favorite Mavericks uniform?
The charcoal. No, not the light gray. You're talking about specialty uniform?
Whichever anyone you got.
Well,
that you,
as
that
far you... as we've I don't know if people have noticed this year, we have a light gray with that horse logo, and we've kind of backed off and just chosen specific colors. People love this jersey. It is fantastic. As far as specialty jerseys, I like the throwback, for example, when we did the Greyhounds and things like that.
Right.
Any of the throwbacks. We did one for Will Shields, when he made the Hall of Fame, the Chiefs, the NFL Hall of Fame. And that was cool to see the Mavs in red, so to speak.
Yeah.
But we do such – there's great creativity there.
The uniforms are absolutely fantastic. It's always fun. And finally, what's Lamar Hunt Jr.'s greatest athletic achievement on the field? What was your shining moment?
My senior year in high school, I played for St. Mark's School of Texas. We were an Episcopal school, private school. We played Bishop Lynch, the notorious Catholic school that we were up against. 0-0 going into the end of the game, and I kicked the winning field goal, and we won 3-0.
That's pretty good.
It's when our offense, you'd throw maybe 5 passes a game. we ended up being an undefeated team that season.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was a pretty special moment, and I can, there's a video that they put together of it, such as it is, and, we can see ourselves jumping and celebrating at that point. But, yeah, that's probably my best.
That's awesome. That's
it was
awesome.
Fun.
I love it. Well, Lamar, we always love catching up with you. Thanks so much for giving us some time, and thanks for all the work you do in the community, you personally, but also with the Mavericks. And we love our partnership, certainly, with the Mavericks. And it's going to be a great weekend. I encourage everybody, kcmavericks.com. Get your tickets Friday night, Saturday night. Great events this weekend. Always, you guys, your whole staff does such a great job.
Yeah, hats off to the staff. You can't say enough. I can't say enough thank yous to them for what they do.
Work.
I mean, again, it's our motto in the locker room is an attitude of gratitude or within the organization. And I would just a heartfelt thanks to all those. The attention to detail is extraordinary. They see things that I don't even know about, and it's awesome.
Yeah, and we look forward to hearing something after the first of the year.
Thank you, Seren.
That'll be great.
Thank you.
Lamar Hunt Jr. joining us here in the program. We'll take a break. Come back. You're in the program.
All right. Who was the last Big 12 championship game MVP that did not play for Oklahoma? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.